Thank you, Donna. Brad said, hey, I liked your walk-up music. You know, like when you're a batter at a baseball game, and Donna gave me some walk-up music. Brad said, I like your new walk-up music, and so we're ready to go. Good morning. Man, I pray everybody's doing well. Let's look around, give somebody a smile, a wave that says, hey, man, I'm tickled to death to see you today. Glad to be in the house of the Lord with you to worship in spirit and in truth today. If you are part of our online audience, as always, we welcome you. We're thankful that you are a part of our services today and what's taking place. We trust that God's going to richly bless you through his word, through song, and through all that we do. So let's take this moment today to look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful for, Lord, the many, many blessings that you bestow upon us. Father, we're thankful for even the blessings that we don't often recognize. Lord, we thank you for your care, for your provision. And then, Lord, today we're grateful for this opportunity to be able to come together in your house as your children, as your brothers and as our brothers and sisters with one another, Lord, around the common cause of our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that today you would help us to keep our attention and our focus upon you. Lord, we know that you want to speak to us. You have given us that promise in your word, a promise that we can claim. So today, if we come seeking a blessing, then we will find it. Lord, I know that Satan's also going to try to distract us in each and everything that we do, each and everything that is said and done around us. Lord, may our attention and our focus be upon you. Help us, Lord, not to be so busy doing church that we, Lord, somehow miss out on worshiping with you. So bless our time, Lord. Help keep our attention in the right place. And Lord, may we leave this place different than when we came in. Help us, Father, as we lift our voices up to you to not do it out of habit, Lord, but to, Lord, raise our voices, to concentrate, to think about the words that are coming out of our mouth, that rather than from our mouths, it truly would come from our heart as worship to you. So, Lord, this time is yours. We ask that you would bless it and bless us as we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sung that since we've been here in the last 5 years. I invite you to stand as we sing 261. Thank you. We have in Jesus from number 182.
Yeah.
right, if you got your Bible today, and I hope you do, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Proverbs chapter 3. Go ahead and turn there with me. Proverbs chapter 3. It's interesting that, and I've said this before, I don't know that it is just common for this day and age. I know it's been around for a long time, but obviously nobody likes to make mistakes, right? But have you ever noticed that here's something incredible. Some of you may not know this. People mess up every day, don't they? Yeah. How many of y'all have messed up recently? How many of you messed up today? Okay. How many of you are going to mess up today? Hallelujah. There's all my people. We've covered it all. Now, what is interesting, particularly for my supervisory people that are out there today, one of the things that you understand is, have you ever noticed this, that when something happens, somebody messes up, and you're kind of in this supervisory role, and you have to go and talk to them about the mess up, as it were. Have you ever noticed what generally happens is you'll find out that they didn't mess up, right? It's always somebody else's fault. How many of y'all supervisors ever been there? It's kind of, hey, parents, it's the same way. You know, you go to your kids and you're like, hey man, what happened in here? Well, the pizzas were on the ceiling when I came home. No, they weren't. No, nobody, yeah, for some odd reason, we don't want to seem to own up when we mess up, okay? Now, a lot of times as supervisory or as a parent or somebody to that nature, you're in a position by which to correct the issue. The issue is so much harder to correct when nobody thinks that they've messed up. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You've experienced that. And it just seems like more and more in this day and age, nobody ever messes up. It's always somebody else's fault that this took place or that this happened. So today, we're going to be delving into the book of Proverbs to explore the wisdom and the guidance that we find in the words of Solomon. Now, remember something interesting about Solomon. What was his, I guess you would call it, moniker? Yeah, he was considered to be the what? This isn't the answer. He was considered to be the wisest man ever. Remember that? Because that's what he asked for. He asked God for wisdom. God granted that. And now that didn't make him perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We also read in his writings or the writings about him about how he says, I've tried this and I tried that and I found nothing to be fulfilling except for God Almighty. That's the only thing. That's it. So he says, I tried this and I tried that only to find out I already had everything I needed in God the Father. Okay? So we're going to look at some of his words in Proverbs today, specifically out of Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to deal with verses 11 and 12 today, where we are reminded of the importance of God's discipline in our lives. Sometimes it's tough to be a disciplinarian, isn't it? You know, that's where parents get that old expression, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I never bought that as a child. Did you? I'm like, no, it's not, but I'm picking up what you're putting down. This is going to hurt me a whole lot worse than it's going to hurt you. Now, again, I know we live in a different day and age, but I grew up in the time where, as any of you have been around me long enough to know, I was brought up that I had the Board of Education applied to the seat of my learning as I grew up. So, you know, it's time out was how long it took you to get up off the floor after... That's what a timeout was in my day. Now, no, my parents did not abuse me. Some of y'all out there may be thinking that or out in TV land. No, they didn't abuse me. They disciplined me. They corrected me. And God the Father does the same thing to his children. Now, here's the interesting part. We don't like that, do we? See, we've got that attitude. Sometimes people have situations with authority. They don't like somebody that is over them that can tell them what to do. They don't like, when somebody, calls them on the carpet, so to say, about something. And by the way, that's not necessarily a fun thing for any of us, is it? None of us like to know when we've done something wrong. sort of. I mean, yeah, granted, obviously, if you're not corrected, you will continue to do the wrong thing. I think some reasoning in our society today is that people haven't been corrected for wrongdoing. There's never been a consequence for what they've done. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you this outright. There is a consequence for sin, period. Now, can God completely, you know, wipe the slate clean with no response? Yes, he can, because he's God and we're not. Yeah, at times you look at throughout the Bible, there were times when there was this big, big mess up that happened in somebody's life, and God basically said to them, or Jesus said to them, go and sin no more. You're forgiven. Go and sin no more. But there were also some times where there were consequences that showed up for the sins. And I want you to know there are consequences for sin. Now, God, in his sovereignty and in his wisdom, you know, deals with each and every one of us on an individual basis, okay? So as we think about that, we look at the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Look and read along with me, Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. It says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you today, again, we pray that your word would spring forth in our life. Lord, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and we're grateful to be able to have this time together. But Lord, I pray that you will help us to concentrate upon the movement of the Holy Spirit today in our lives. Lord, we know that these words today, you want to speak to each individual person here about this particular text. And Lord, I don't know what it is in each individual life, but you do. So Lord, I pray that we would truly give ear to what the Spirit would say to us today. And then, Father, I pray that if there's correction in our lives that's needed, that we would have the courage to step into your direction, Lord, to make those changes along the way. Lord, as always, I ask that you would bless me as your speaker for this moment. Lord, I'm nothing and no one without you. I just ask that you would use me as your vessel to disseminate your word to your people. Bless our time, Father, as only you can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at the book of Proverbs, Proverbs is that book that is filled with practical wisdom and practical advice for daily living for each and every one of us. And these verses, Solomon is emphasizing the value of God's discipline in shaping us into the people that he has called us to be. And I want you to take note of that. It's about him shaping us into the people that he has called us to be. Not us out there doing it on our own, not out there thinking that we can help God out or that we know better than God what it is that needs to happen or what it is that needs to take place. It's about us becoming what God wants us to be. And let me add this little caveat to that. There is no better place in the world than being in the center of God's will, doing what God has called you to do. It is so ironic that that old expression holds forth to be true that says, if you are doing something that you love, you'll never work a day in your life, okay? I tell people I hadn't had a job in getting close to 40 years now, okay? I turn around and I see how long God has allowed me to be able to do this, and I still feel, I feel young. Yeah, you feel young until you look at a photograph and you know, I looked at one this morning, and I'm the only one in it whose hair's gray. That's a little weird, but at any rate, that should make you guys feel good. Some of y'all are sitting back saying, well, the reason my hair's not gray is because I don't have any. So that's okay. If you had some at your age, it probably would be gray. But it's about us understanding that God is going to discipline us. Notice in our text today, one of the things that he says is, those whom the Lord loves, he chastens. All right? There's value to that. I want us to think for just a moment as we ponder these verses about what the human condition is. How do we view things? How do we see things today? As humans, we often struggle with the idea of discipline. Nobody likes to be disciplined, do they? No. And that's not something that we want. We don't like being corrected. We don't like being told that we are wrong about something. We want to do things our own way, and we want to follow our own desires. Amen? At times, you'll even try to get your way in a situation. If it's not going your way, you'll kind of try to nudge your way into getting somebody else to come around to your way of thinking. You know, yeah, you may say something like, well, we can always do it that way, but if you want to do it right, I have a good idea. That's the way we look at things. You know, we do not like discipline, but the Bible tells us that God's discipline is a sign of His love for each and every one of us. So when we look at our text today, the word chastening that we see in verse 11 refers to the discipline or correction that God is bringing into our lives. It is not something that is meant to harm us, but it is something that is meant to teach and to mold us into His image. You know, there is a difference between discipline and abuse. Amen? That for some odd reason, in our day and age, those lines seem to be blurred. You know, you correct, as a parent, you correct a child in public, you're liable to be greeted by a police officer going out the door today. It's, you know, and it's like, no, listen, I was just correcting my child. Every now and then they need snatched up. Every now and then they need walked out the door. Every now and then they need to understand that throwing a fit is not the way to go. That's not a way to bring people around to your way of thinking. And yet what's happened in today's society is that if we cry loud enough, if we scream loud enough, if we have a tantrum bad enough, we just go ahead and give them what they want. Yeah, folks, that's not setting a right precedent as you go forward down the road. There's disappointment in life, amen? You understand that? Not everybody makes the team, right? Not everybody is able to do what somebody else can do. That doesn't degrade your value. It just means that the things that you want to do most in the world may not be the things God has you called out or cut out to be. Plain and simple. You know, people sit back and say, I'm trying to remember, it was a college mantra or something that it says, everybody is given, I can't remember how it goes, but it was something like, everybody's given the same opportunities. Now, I said, no, everybody's not given the same opportunity to be what you wanted to be. You know, if I wanted to be a professional basketball player, the right thing to do would for me to be about 7 feet tall or better. I'm not there. You know, if I wanted to be a great football player, then I would have the speed of a gazelle. Trust me, I'm not there. You know, and I look at other people who have various talents and abilities, and all of us have different talents and abilities that God created us with to be used for His honor and for His glory, and we got to stop wanting what somebody else has. I've always said this, be yourself, be you. There's nobody that's better qualified to do that than you. Yeah, I said that in ministry before. I tried to emulate certain people when I started preaching, and it just wasn't working out. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on here? And He goes, I don't even know who you are. And I'm like, what, you mean I'm not doing the right thing? He said, look, I didn't call your imitation of this great pastor. I didn't call your imitation of that great pastor. I called you to be you the way I created you to be for me. And you know, there's freedom in that. There's freedom in taking those gifts and talents and abilities and using them for the Lord. So what happens is, as God loves us, that means He chastens us. That's what verse 11 is telling us. It's not something that's meant to harm us, but it rather is something that is meant to teach us and to mold us into His image, just as a loving father disciplines His child. Out of love, God disciplines us because He loves us and He wants what's best for us. Now, the ironic part about that is often we as His children don't see the big picture. Have you ever disciplined your child and they didn't understand why they were being disciplined? They didn't understand the outcome? You know, that was, you know, that's a tough one. And I like to use this example, you know. Junior's out there, and Junior's learned how to ride a bicycle, and Junior decides that the pavement on the main highway out there is a lot smoother than the gravel driveway. You picking up what I'm putting down? So all of a sudden, Junior is like 5 years old. And Junior decides Interstate 40 is nice and smooth. So Junior wants to go out and ride on I-40. And, you know, all of a sudden you see him heading in that direction, and you, as a good parent, go out and intercept them. Like, whoa, where are you going? Going out here to ride. Ride where? On the interstate. Oh, no, you're not. You're not going to do that. And then, you know, see, here's what happens. A lot of times Junior goes, Mom and Dad just don't want me to have fun. They just want me to stay out here where there's potholes in this gravel road and where it's rough. It is so much nicer where that pavement is smooth out there. They just don't want me to have fun and excel. All right, Mom and Dad, is that the reason you don't want Junior to ride in the road? What is the real reason you don't want Junior to ride in the road? Because you want Junior to stay alive. You don't want Junior to get run over. Like, you get run over in a car. Could you imagine a five-year-old taking the exit ramp off of Wendover Avenue onto I-40? I mean, just imagine what that... We don't like to do that in a car that we can get up to speed to move over. But yet, here's the problem. Often, the children don't know the dangers that lie ahead. All they're doing is looking at what they want. The child is looking at something that's a smooth place to ride. That ought to be really, really good. Not thinking of the dangers that come along with that. But see, you as a parent, you as an adult, understand that they are heading for danger. So what you do is you intercept them. And what you do is you try to gently correct them. No, baby, I don't think it's a good idea for you to ride out on I-40 today. And then what is generally the next comment you hear? Why? Because it's dangerous. Well, because there's fast traffic out there. Well, because there's some not-so-stellar rule-abiding citizens driving on the road. And then you're like, because I said so. Right? All right? That doesn't help. And inquiring minds want to know. But see, what happens is often we are escorted back to the gravel driveway. And sometimes we feel like God's not being fair to us. Sometimes we feel like God doesn't want us to have fun. Sometimes we feel like God doesn't want us to be there. But here's the thing about it. God is going to chasten us. He is going to correct us because he loves us. Now, taking what we've learned in the Word just from these two verses, applying it to our illustration and situation, did you go out there and stop Junior from riding on I-40 because you detested him and you wanted to be a killjoy? No. You stopped him from doing that because you knew of the dangers. You know how dangerous it would be for someone that you love very dearly to go out there and potentially lose their life. As a parent, you are called to protect your children. And yet your child is sitting there going, you just don't love me and you don't want me to have any fun or anything. And you're like, no, that's not it at all. Yes, it is. And you're like, well, look, you can think whatever you think, but you are not splattered all over I-40 right now, and I can live with that, right? See, we do the same thing with God. Too many times we sit back and say, well, God, you're not being fair to me. You just don't want me to have any fun. You don't want me to excel. And God's like, look, you can think whatever you want right now. I just want you to know that I love you. There's a reason behind why these things take place as they take place. Just as a loving father disciplines his child out of love, God disciplines us because he loves us. That's the reason. Do you get it? Because he loves us and he wants what's best for us. Now, in these verses, we're reminded that God's discipline is a sign of his love for us. And it shows that we are his children and that he cares enough to correct us when we stray off of his path. You ever remember that one of those excuses when Mom and Dad were trying to keep you, let's just say, safe? And you were full of the whys. Why this and why that and why the other thing? And you got the because I said so. And then usually what would happen is you would come up with this. Well, Johnny does it. Susie does it. Susie's parents allows her to do this. Timmy's parents allow him to do that. And what generally was your answer? I'm not Johnny, Susie, or Timmy's daddy. In love, okay, y'all make sure you understand. In love, I don't care what Johnny, Susie, or Timmy do, and Johnny, Susie, and Timmy don't live in this house. But if Johnny, Susie, and Timmy were mine, they'd be right in the same seat that you are. See, we always want to try to justify what we're doing because of what somebody else is doing. And often we don't see the big picture. I always say God's got I call it the heavenly view. You may have heard it related as the 30,000 foot view, which means that God can see everything that's going on. He knows our beginning from our end. He sees our path. He sees when we're off of that path. And he knows when we're heading for danger. And he has ways of kind of trying to nudge us into the right path, to keep us where we're supposed to be. And sometimes we don't like it. Amen? You ever gotten mad at God because he disciplined you? Yeah. Well, look, quit being spiritual. Yes, you have. You've gotten uptight with God. You're like, come on, God. Look, man, all I wanted was this. That's it. Look at that heathen over there. Lord, I know he's a heathen and you do too. That is not one of your children. And look at what he gets away with. Look, he is enjoying life to the fullest. And here I am. Sometimes I think God's up there going, like a little violin music with that. It's like a little bit of cheese with your wine. And you know what God says? God says, they're not one of mine. You are, and I have plans for you. And my plans for you are not to hurt you. My plans for you are to prosper you. But it's about my plan, not your plan. We like to try to help God out with his plans, don't we? Anybody ever work with somebody like that? You come in with a plan and you're like, hey, look, here's what we've got. This is the outline. This is the way we're doing it. Somebody goes, excuse me. I think if we took this and pulled it over there, did this and did that and the other thing, you're sitting there going, greater minds than yours have already thought this through, and there is a reason why we're doing these things. And then they sit back and go, okay, if you just want to fail miserably, then go right ahead and do it. That's what happens. We try to help God out. God says, no, I've got the plan. I don't need your help, and you will enjoy my plan. Why is it that we always think that if we do what God's will for our life is, that we're going to be some miserable person wearing a three-piece suit, toting around a 97-pound Schofield reference edition, always looking gloom and doom? I have never regretted a single moment in ministry. I can tell you that. And let me tell you what else I have had the time of my life. I have had the joy of my life. I've gone more places. I've seen more people. You know, I've had a chance to be an instrument in the hand of God, and I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. And I've often thought about what it would have been like if I would have stayed on my path. My path rather than his path. And the really cool part about getting grayer and older is this. You see where God lined people up all along your path to get you where you wanted to be. I sent a message to a guy that 36 years ago that I worked with, and I said, I just want to thank you for the example that you were in my life. I said, I want to thank you for the way that you treated me. I also want to thank you that you're a gigantic man, and when the fight took place on the street and I called for help, you were there. I said, but I just want you to know, 36 years later, I still think about your influence in my life. You are influencing people's lives right now. God has put you in people's lives for a reason. And that reason is to accomplish His will. And all you have to do is be what God has called you to be. Isn't that pretty cool? That's easy. That's simple. See, the Lord is wanting us to stay. You see, His discipline shows His children that He cares enough to correct us when we stray from the path. And it teaches us obedience and humility. We've got to be obedient to Him. Yeah, and we learn to submit to His will, and we learn to submit to His direction in our lives. And sometimes we have trouble with that because we want to look out for us, don't we? Number one. That's what we do. So what does that mean to us today? As we reflect on these two verses that we're looking at this morning, we need to not despise God's discipline in our lives, but yet we need to embrace it as a sign of His great love for us. We need to be open to correction. We need to be willing to learn from our mistakes. We have to trust in God's plan for our lives, and we need to allow His discipline to shape us into the people that He has called us to be, not that we want to be. I promise you, the hardest part of that whole thing is we get these great dreams of our own, and we feel like we're sacrificing something if we do it God's way. I told you a minute ago, and I can't testify any louder, I have never, ever, one single moment regretted following God's call in my life. It's been scary. There have been some things along the way that were life changes, life changes, career changes, everything. I had just actually gotten a promotion and was getting ready to have another promotion coming along, and the Lord says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pack up everything you have, and I want you to move from Virginia to North Carolina as a youth pastor. And I was like, okay. And then I laughed because, they said, well, we'll pay for the movers when I finally landed on a church. And I said, what do you mean you'll pay for the movers? Oh, well, we'll have movers move you. I said, I ain't got that much to move. I said, I'll tell you what, if you'll pay for a U-Haul, we'll call it even. And so they ordered me a U-Haul. I went to pick it up, a 26-footer. I arranged my furniture in that thing like a mobile home. I didn't have nothing. I mean, literally, I was like, I could live in this thing. I didn't have anything. And I drove out of Virginia knowing one person in North Carolina to be obedient to what God had called me to do. I wasn't getting a pay raise or anything else, but it was an adventure. It was an exciting adventure. And I can still remember those days. And I remember the fear, I remember the excitement, but I wouldn't trade it for anything on this planet. If all those things hadn't taken place, I wouldn't be here today. Our lives are building blocks. I wouldn't be standing here in the pulpit of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, had I not been faithful to take the step to say, Lord, I will follow You. Where You lead me, I will follow. And sometimes we're real good at saying that, Lord. We sing about it. Where You lead me, I will follow. I'll go all the way. We're real good at singing that song. And then the Lord says, well, here's where I want you to go. And you're like, I ain't doing that. No. Man, that missionary stuff's bad for my hands. Mm-mm. I don't look good in shorts. Nope. Don't look good in a pith helmet. Nah, sorry, Lord. Yeah, I'm going to stay here where the air conditioning's fine. Ain't preaching out no sun. It's really funny because God has an incredible sense of humor, because it seems to me, at least in my life, all the things I told God I wasn't going to do, I ended up doing. How about you? How many of y'all can say that? I ain't doing this, God. And then you do it. And then you find out, you were wrong. You had the wrong attitude about everything. You realize it's some of the greatest moments of your life were the things you said that you would never do that God said He wanted you to do. So after a while, you would think that us hardheads would come around to the point of being able to say, hey, look, God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to follow your will. You just lead me, and I'll follow you. But the Lord says this, I love you enough that I'm not going to let you get away with a bunch of monkey business. I'm not going to let you get away with not representing my family as you should. There are expectations. I hope and pray. Listen, were there expectations in your family? Raise your hand. If your mom and daddy had expectations of you, and listen, if they've ever said to you, you know, you're a, insert your name, act like it. Y'all ever heard that? You're a Carter, you need to act like it. You ever had somebody else tell you that? I had teachers tell me that. Brother, listen, I know your mom and daddy, and you were not raised that way. There's higher expectations of you. They would be ashamed of you. Well, God has expectations of you and I as his children as well. And we need to stop acting like God has just done us or that we're doing him some sort of favor by following him. No, he's done us a favor by saving our soul. And as long as there's life and breath within us, you will never, ever repay that because you can't. I voluntarily enjoy being a part of God's family. I love the fact that I have brothers and sisters. I think that is the family is the coolest example that God ever gave us. Father and son, you know why? Because we can relate to that, can't we? Dads, let me ask you a question. If your son goes out or your daughter goes out and they mess up, do you just throw them away? Do you just say, oh, look, man, you just messed this thing up so bad, I don't ever want to see you again. I don't love you. I don't want to have anything to do. You don't do that. Listen, if you truly love them, you could not do that for anything. As a dad, you step up to the plate. As a dad, you correct the wrong. You know why you correct wrong things? This might be a new concept to society today, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. You correct wrong so that the wrong is not repeated. Amen? That's why you do it. You know, if it's not taught, so be it. I told you before, and I know, listen, there are going to be people that disagree with me. There are people that disagree with me all the time. Listen, I'm old enough that I don't care anymore. But here's what I know. I know this. When I was a young'un, I didn't dictate to my mom and daddy what I was going to do on Sunday. I can remember times, hey, listen, get up. You got to get ready and go to church. I don't feel like going today. Don't care what you feel like. You best be in your breeches, your Sunday breeches, and your Sunday coat and tie and in the car in the next 5 minutes. Because if you're not, this is going to kick your behind all the way out to the car. But any way it goes, you're getting in the car. And I look like Yosemite Sam. Confounded, frickin' fracking, no good, low down, dirty, double cross, all the way out to the car. And then you sit there like, I'm going to make sure I don't get anything out of this today, just despite my dad, just despite my mom. And what made it worse, listen, some of y'all are my generation. You can dig this. We had three channels on TV back in that day. Y'all remember? The remote control was the youngest child. You'd go up and turn it on the box. And on Sunday night, one of the pinnacle things of all time for a child was the Wonderful World of Disney. Y'all remember that? Little, what's that Disney fairy's name? Tinkerbell. You know, it would come on, she'd fly around the castle and do that, and little sparklers went everywhere. That was about the time we were leaving for church. That's all I ever saw, the Wonderful World of Disney, and it was big. Because everybody on Monday was talking about what happened on the Wonderful World of Disney. Like I said, the most memorable thing to me was, you know, I tell you, I cried when Old Yeller died. Who's Old Yeller? Why'd he die? And then they looked at me like, you didn't watch Disney? No. Well, why did you miss Disney? I was
church.
You were where? At church. Dude, Disney's life. Do you think I sat back and said, well, my mom and daddy are good Christian people, and I'm going to grow up to be a really good Christian person, and that's the reason why I was in church, and someday you'll understand. You think I said that? No. Do you think I felt that? No. I was mad. I kept thinking, I said it one day. I said, look, man, I want to know why Old Yeller died. I want to know who Old Yeller is. I want to stay home and watch The Wonderful World of Disney. And I can still remember my dad going, no. Nope, not going to happen. And then one day, Jesus got a hold of my heart. And I say this even today, I've said it in this congregation, I'll say it until the Lord doesn't allow me to speak anymore. It's ironic that I can go back. I could go on this thing right here, right now, and I can find out about Old Yeller. I can watch what happened to Old Yeller. I can get DVDs. I can stream. I can do all kinds of things. But let me tell you what I could not do. I could not go back and get my childhood back and those days of being raised in a godly family. By the way, I do know how Old Yeller died. I got the best of both worlds. And yes, I did cry when Old Yeller died. But today, I have no regrets because my earthly father did what the heavenly father does for us. He says, nope, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it was so funny because sometimes you think that people aren't going to say anything. I can still remember I've shared this as well, but all-star baseball. Man, I loved baseball growing up. And I was one of the, like, 12 people that made the all-star team in Little League Baseball. And they said, we're going to practice on Sunday. I remember the coach telling my dad, said, well, we'll be practicing on Sunday. Dad goes, that's great. Roy won't be there. You guys said, well, what? This is all-star practice. And Dad's like, I don't care. He won't be there. And it was enough that there was enough good, godly daddies back in that day that said their sons wouldn't be there. They had one practice, and like two or three people showed up. That was it. So he realized, we're not going to be able to practice on Sunday, because something else comes into play. My daddy didn't get mad. My daddy didn't judge them. He just said, he won't be there. He has a place to be. That is with his family in the house of the Lord on Sunday. And my daddy was dedicated. It wasn't just Sunday morning. It was Sunday night. It was Wednesday. Remember, we've told you before, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning, drug on Sunday night, drug on Wednesday night, drug to revival, drug to vacation Bible. I was drugged to vacation Bible school at other people's churches. Hallelujah. How many of y'all were that way? I'd do 6 or 7 vacation Bible schools. We'd be down at the Methodist church and then over at this church. Well, listen, they did make sure they had a different curriculum. I can remember the opening assembly. Y'all remember that opening assembly? You gathered together and you said the pledges and you had the Bible and you sang Onward Christian Soldiers. Good days, weren't they? What happened to those days? See, the thing about it is, it's only going to be important to our children if it's important to us. You get what I'm saying? If you are a part-time Christian, hate to use that term, but you know what I'm saying. then your children are going to be a part-time Christian. Probably should have saved this for Father's Day, shouldn't I? If going to the house of the Lord is only important to your, if it's not important to you to be here, it won't be important to them to be there. I've had people over the years that come back and say, why is being a part of a church or something not important to my child? And I said, well, you ready for the answer to this? You're not going to like it, because it wasn't important to you. They become what you are. What's important to them is what's important to you. And if being a godly person and coming, listen, I understand that coming to church doesn't save you. But I'll tell you this, it's where you learn and where you grow and where the Lord can get a hold of your heart and show you something different. It's where you get to get shoulder to shoulder with brothers and sisters and fight for them, and they fight for you. And it's like family. And I love my family. But families have disagreements, don't they? Families have some fights along the way, but they're still family, and you still love one another. And the Lord says, those whom I love, I chasten. I chasten. Is he chastening you today? Has he been, yeah, he's like, hey, look, it's interesting that, have you ever noticed you get, did you ever grow up in a house that did this? That's strike one. Strike two. What happens on strike three, baseball fans? You're out. Okay? The Lord will sit back and say, you don't need to be doing that. You don't need to be doing that. And then he's going to snatch Johnny up off of the bicycle on the on-ramp to I-40. Occasionally you sit back and go, yeah, and decide to take off. He going to snatch you off that bicycle and pull you back into your place. Now, I don't want you to sit back, oh, the preacher's preaching that God's this killjoy that's going to squash you like a bug. No, I'm not preaching that, but I'm not saying he can't do that either. Some of y'all have had to learn lessons the hard way, right? Where are my hard way people out here? Come on, hold your hands up high. Say, oh yeah, I'm not going to forget that one. You have learned God's lesson the hard way because you, like me, are a knucklehead. That's a spiritual term. You are a knucklehead. And the Lord says, got to deal with knuckleheads in the way you deal with knuckleheads. Here's the way it goes. So as we look at these verses today, maybe you're in that position. Maybe the Lord is chastening you. And some people sit back and say, well, you know what? In church, you get all these church terms. What does that mean? Do you feel something inside you, not just while you're sitting in church, but in your life, that tug on your heart, that you just know there's something going on in there? Maybe you just can't put your finger on, but there's something going on. Maybe when you're getting ready to do something, maybe it's something in your life that the Lord is trying to save you from dropping off of the brink of disaster. Listen, this morning you need to heed his call. We need to remember that God's discipline is a gift that shows his love for us. We need to humbly accept his correction and allow it to guide us on the path of righteousness. Why is it that there's correction? I think sometimes correction, we need to be corrected so that we don't forget what we've done. I'm a firm believer that there need to be consequences. You know why? As a former law enforcement officer, my whole thing is, you know, the problem with law in America today is that the punishment never fits the crime. Done. You know, what is the deterrent to keep somebody from going out and doing this again? Not much. What is the deterrent to keep you? Listen, God's a God of forgiveness. What is the deterrent that keeps you? I say, people sit back and say, well, I just need to forget that past. I don't think you need to. I think you need to remember the past, because I think you need to remember that what you did back in that day that God forgave you of, He's forgiven you of it. I think you need to remember the pain you caused the Father, because then you're prone never to do that again. I don't know about y'all, but I grew up, I loved my mom and dad. At times I didn't always understand them. But you know what? They were right. I've learned that. They were always right about, you know, what was taking place. They were always right about what was going on. And I can still remember, I would rather somebody take me out behind that dumpster and beat me with a ball bat than to disappoint them. That was a big deal. And ironically enough, I feel the same way about my Heavenly Father. I'd rather somebody take me out there behind that dumpster and whoop me with a Louisville Slugger than to disappoint the Heavenly Father. And I think remembering where you disappointed them in the past is a great deterrent to not disappoint them in the future. We need to remember God's discipline. That's a gift that shows us His love toward us. Humbly accept His correction and let that correction guide you to righteousness. So what is it that He has said to you today? You know, I mentioned even in my prayer as we started today that God's got a message for each and every one of us today. And it doesn't matter whether or not you think I'm the worst pastor on the face of this planet. Let me tell you what I know. I know that God's word does not return void. And that He can even take an old sinner like me who's brought forth the word to you today and make it come alive in your heart. So what did God say to you today? And if you sit back and say, well, God didn't say anything to me today, well, that's your fault. I get to call that one out from the pulpit today. If God didn't speak to you today, that's not on me. You wasn't listening. That's on you. Did he give you an attaboy? Hey, you're doing great. Did He give you the thing about, you know, maybe there's been some chastening in your life and He's been sitting there going, kind of like you do in church sometime when a preacher makes a point, you start punching your spouse. Is that what the Lord is doing today? Well, today is the day to do something about it. Brad, you guys come on up. We're getting ready to have our time of invitation. Yeah, it's funny because people ask me all the time, they're like, you still give an invitation? I'm like, yeah. Why not? It was a young guy one day recently, and I said, why would you not give an invitation? He goes, well, it can embarrass people. I said, well, you know what? Hell's going to be full of some people that would have rather been embarrassed on the day of their calling. Said, yeah, it may be. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Heavenly Father. It's a great start, isn't it? And by the way, nobody in this room is going to go, oh, I can't believe that they made an invitational response to trust Jesus. Lord have mercy, what's church coming to? No, we're going to celebrate with you. That's what it's like. You are in the best company ever. And we like, that's a new birth. You must be born again. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? See, when somebody trusts Jesus, that's like a newborn baby being born. Everybody loves babies, don't they? I do. What's the Lord put on your heart today? Maybe it's the fact that you've never actually trusted Him. Salvation's not about going to church. It's not about you being a good person. It's not about how many things you do for the churches. Let me tell you what it's about. It's about Jesus. It's about your relationship with Him. I've said it 1,000 times. I think hell's going to be full of church people. Oh, I go to church. Well, we're not worried about where you going to church. Are you going to the kingdom of heaven? The only way you do that is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, period. No other way that you can make it to the kingdom except through Jesus. Have you trusted Him? Has there been that time in your life when you said, Lord, yep, I'm a sinner. I mess up. I made mistakes. But I believe that You paid my ransom when You went to Calvary's cross through that tomb, meaning you resurrected on the third day, and you've gone to prepare a place for me. Lord, I ask that you forgive me and save my soul. That's the handshake of salvation, because prayer is just communication with God. Have you ever done that? If not, I'm encouraging you right now. Just bow your head where you are and say, Lord, I am a sinner and I know it. Forgive me a sinner. Save my soul. Help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you did that, that's the start. Now, the word also says, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. I'm not preaching salvation by works, but your works should prove out your salvation. Plain and simple. That's where, over in James, when he said, faith without works is dead. Is it active? Is the Lord active and in you? That's really what it's about. Because the Lord in you will change you. We got too many faux Christians going around today. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Well, your life sure doesn't look like it. But yeah, it's one of the greatest deterrents for people today with Christianity is they look at other Christian people. And they're like, okay. Even unbelievers know how believers should live and function. And we got to be good examples of that. You know how we do that? That means we really live what we believe. We really live what that word says. That's what makes the difference. Can you do that? Maybe you're here today and the Lord has just placed a bunch of stuff on your heart and you've given up, you've walked away, you have been chastened, and the Lord is about to apply the Board of Education to the seat of your learning. He's given you another chance to repent and make it right with Him. He's chastening you. You will never have peace until you deal with the chastening. You can't go to it. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low, no depth of the ocean that you can escape God. He created it all. He knows every crevice and crack in it. You can't hide. You will not escape the chastening of the Lord. Deal with it today. Listen, if you need the altar, it's here. If you need me, I am here. I'd be loved to pray with you. If you trusted Jesus, please let us know. We just want to celebrate with you. I want to help get you on that path of knowing Him better. And I promise it'll be the funnest thing you ever did. If it's boring, then you can say it's boring and walk away. Okay? I'm not here to bore people. I don't like boring people either. I'll let that one lie. But nonetheless, what is it that God's put on your heart today? I'm here, altar's here. Respond to God. Don't leave this place the same way you came in. Leave changed on some level because the Lord has had something for you. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn number 294, Have Thine Own Way.
Have Thine Own Way.
Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Can you say that you've done that? That you've let the Lord have His own way? He's putting it in your heart right now. Have Thine own way. Are you saying that to Him? Lord, I'm here. I'm responding to what you've put in my heart and my life today. And I'm going to go away from here different than when I came in. What is it that God has done for you? As you continue to seek Him, make it right before you leave this place. I'm also going to ask that our ushers make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, you are so good to us, and we are so thankful that you provide in our lives in ways that we don't even understand. God, you've been good to us. I pray, Father, that as we worship you by giving back that portion that you have so richly blessed us with, that we will be found faithful in doing so. Lord, I pray that you will give us wisdom and guidance as a church to be good stewards of what is yours. Help us, Father, to reach this nation, this whole world for Christ, starting here at home. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. So bless the gift and the giver as we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Biggie. Just a couple things, and then we'll get you on out of here. Just birthdays we got coming up this week. Today, Millie Bailiff has a birthday right down here on the front row, man. Give her a hand. It's Millie's birthday today. Like I say, she did tell me that she will take checks, credit cards, cash. She's got a little square on her phone, so if you want to swipe the card for birthday gifts, she'll meet you right down here at the front afterwards. This coming Thursday, Carol Boone will be celebrating a birthday. Need to pray for her. She's put up with Mark for a lot of years. Give them both some loving along the way. Oh, Dan Wagner has a birthday this coming Thursday as well. So if you get a chance to see Dan, wish him a happy birthday. And then this coming Friday, Tammy Bowman will be having a birthday. So like I say, all these folks will take the, you know, they'll even take traveler's checks. Whatever you want to give them, they'll be happy to take from you. Anyway, listen, give them a hug, give them some love, and send them a message. Let them know that that you appreciate them, and we celebrate you guys this week. We also do have an anniversary tomorrow. Mike and Kay Harrell will be celebrating their anniversary. I believe they're at the beach right now, and Kay's doing a little recovery from some surgery, so keep them in your prayers, but they will be having an anniversary tomorrow. Just a few things that we've got going on for the rest of the schedule today. My discipleship group will meet at 3:30 in our normal spot. Choir practice, 4:45 right here. Awana is at 5:30 in the Family Life Center next door. Sunday night adult Bible study with Pastor David will be down the hall and to the left at 6 o'clock this evening. And then Wind Ensemble will practice right after the adult Bible study right here in the sanctuary. Just a couple things for this week. Tomorrow on Monday, Building and Grounds does have a meeting at 4:30 in the Family Life Center, room 116. And then our two discipleship group, Steve and Mari Kelly. Steve's group meets at 6 o'clock right here at the church. Mari's meets at 6:30 at their home. So if you are a part of that, Be sure to be there. If you'd like to be a part of that, talk to either Steve or Mari. If you're a female, talk to Mari. If you're a guy, talk to Steve. We'll point you in the right direction. Anyway, a couple of future events we got coming up on the 30th of this month. The Camp Carefree Workers will be having a dinner at Country Barbecue in High Point from 4 to 6 p.m. on the 30th. There is a sign-up sheet in the Narthex. Please make sure you sign up so they'll know how many to make preparation for. And then, ladies, as far as your connections meetings, the next one you've got coming up is May the 5th at 4 o'clock p.m., Family Life Center 116, and then the ladies' monthly breakfast is going to be on May the 13th at Cagney's on Friendly at 9 o'clock a.m. So those are the things that we've got on the calendar and agenda for this upcoming week. A lot of stuff coming up. Don't forget, mark your calendars for homecoming. That's coming up next month. That's going to be the Sunday after Mother's Day. And Gary and the boys will be with us to do a little picking and a grin. You're going to love this. So I'm really wanting you to come. Invite some people. Bring some people with you. Bring some people you know. Bring some people you don't know. Bring some former members. Flag somebody down on the street and have them come and celebrate homecoming with us. So we would certainly love to have you guys be a part of that with us. Like I say, we've got May is always a busy month. You got Mother's Day. We've got homecoming. We've got Memorial Day. We've got a lot of things that are going to be taking place in the month of May. So that kind of kicks off our summer. By the time we get done with May, we're ready to rest for a little while. And that's usually June and July. That's the way that normally goes. But at any rate, listen, I love you. I appreciate you. And look forward to continuing to serve together. Pastor David, if you've got anything for us, let us know. And then see us off in a word of prayer.
Just to remind you to read your bulletin today, there is a note in there for those of you who are not familiar with Camp Carefree about who we are and what we do at Camp Carefree. And it's just a few miles up the road here. So hopefully you'll read that and you'll know how to pray for us if you can't be involved. But we still got room for some folks to get involved with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your great love for us and your provision for our every need. Lord, help us to be submissive to your will. Help us, Lord, to be concerned about what your will is for our life and seek it and be submissive to it. Bless us as we go from this place. Help us to be a witness for you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.